DW.
In the United States, the concept of wilderness is sort of, it's the place where we deposit our intrinsic characteristics as a people. It's how Americans conceive of nature. Real nature is wilderness nature. And basically, it's a settler colonial concept. I belong here because I appreciate this place. I appreciate these wilderness untouched places better than anybody else. What wilderness is the misconception of native homelands, that these are lived spaces, they're scripted places. If I could speak any particular native language with full fluency and someone gave me a tour of their homeland, my head would split because the landscape is literally the library and the research center of indigenous cultures. It's, you know, their whole world is scripted into the landscape, and their conceptions of the right way of living in the world is read from the landscape. And wilderness doesn't have any of that. There are no stories in wilderness.
How did this idea of wilderness clash with the realities of Native American life in the U.S.?
What happens in the U.S., there's a division, you could say, within U.S. society, particularly elite U.S. society, over do we make everything productive? Do we commodify everything and make it basically resource materials for the development of a nation? Or are there some places too lovely, too sacred, too divine that we should leave them untouched? Basically, the resolution to that debate is yes to both. But then what winds up happening with the parks is they become commodified. Scenery, recreation, and leisure become commodities. And so those become embedded in the landscape. And in a sense, for quite a while, preservation was about two things. One was protecting watersheds so that downstream cities and urban areas would have some clean water. And the other was protecting beautiful, inspiring landscapes that people of means would want to go visit and have you know, the romantic experience of experiencing the sublime. But if you combine those two, it's the same as everything else that happened on the continent. Native peoples are in the way of development. Native peoples are in the way of anything where anything they occupy, they're in the way of something. And that's also the same for recreation.
What does this disconnect between humans and so-called wilderness or the natural world, what does that disconnect do to our relationship with the natural world?
I think it's an essential problem. As wilderness as we have it in the United States has always been wedded to an industrial economy, whether that be getting there by railroads, getting there by cars, you know. But the process of keeping it set aside and the process of getting there and the process of using it and then leaving it and having other people use it and leave it on this sort of rotating, you know, amusement park basis, that becomes the mental conception of what nature is, where nature is. Nature is a reward. Nature is a special occasion. It's not the process that, in fact, sustains us. And, you know, within the Judeo-Christian conception, and again, that's generally where these notions of wilderness would have come from, creation happened, and then it's just all over. And we can sort of go back and wonder about how wonderful it was at one point. But what indigenous peoples realize is we're inhabiting a world that's constantly undergoing, that the creative processes are alive and visible all the time if you look.
That kind of brings up an interesting point too. I mean, I think some people will say, but aren't there places where people don't live or don't even frequent, you know, it's very hard to get to. Can we call those places wild? Is there such a thing as wilderness, or is that just purely a human creation?
There are certainly places that humans haven't been on. And if they have, very rarely, and you wouldn't notice it. But you might just call those uninhabited. Because wilderness, you know, wilderness is fraught with all, certainly in Western cultures, it's fraught with, you know, all these deep spiritual and nationalistic meanings. Before this book ever occurred to me, I had traveled, went to Taiwan, learned Chinese, taught English. But I remember going to national parks in China, and China was just developing some national parks. And talk about a scripted landscape, that many of them had those stela with sort of poems written on them. And immediately I realized the most important word in national park is national. These are sort of the intrinsic places that define a nation. And then sort of skip forward. I remember the first national park I went to in Europe was Hoge Veluwe, which is outside of Amsterdam. And it was just a heath with rabbits. and an incredible Van Gogh museum. And I thought, makes perfect sense, but it helped me reorient my conception of what a national park was. A Chinese national park is only going to exist in China, and a Dutch one's only going to exist in the Netherlands.
How can we reframe how we think about nature?
The first thing that comes to mind is time frame. Truly, the most important thing to me is not me. It's the generations after. I think if we viewed national parks not as possessions, or not national parks, the planet, not as a possession, not as something we were gifted by the divine to do with as we like. These are simple and trite, to leave it better than how we got here. And most of the planet, that has not been true for about seven generations. So I think it's time frame, because wilderness is supposed to be timeless. It's a fiction. That's an absolute fiction, which takes a lot of work to make sure things seem timeless inside of those boundaries. But if we treasure that, perhaps we can apply it to the river that runs through our town, to anything and everything.
DW.